Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Chris Buchanani. Chris, it's been a few weeks. I miss you.
Likewise, Jim. I didn't think I would, if I'm being honest, and I want you to take no offense at that, but I find myself here thinking, man, I haven't done this for a couple of weeks, and it's not that I mind the time off, but I kind of missed it. I'm glad to be back.
Oh, we're really glad to have you back. But you know what, Chris? I'm not going to put the full load on you today. No four quarters. I only need two quarters from you today because we got a guest. A mutual friend of ours, Pat Romano, is going to come on for the back half of the show, Chris.
Yep. No FEC guidelines. Vote Pat Romano for Penn State Board of Trustees. All you alums out there, when your ballot comes in, I don't know, there's like 19, 20 candidates. I don't know much about most of them, but I do know that if you want somebody who loves Penn State, has a proven track record of being able to get things done in and outside of the university world, and has skin in the game of having supported our athletic program and the entire institution for a long time, who's a local, a business owner, and just a good dude who loves the Nittany Lions and loves Penn State University, you should vote for Pat Romano.
Good point. I'm not sure I know somebody else who does as much for Penn State athletics as Pat does, and not just with football, but with a lot of sports. Just trust me, stick around the back half of the show. We will have Pat on.
Yeah. And if I can just briefly say two other things about Pat quickly. I know people love listening to Penn State trustee election talk on their sports show. You'll hear Pat talk. I mean, and he knows his Penn State football inside and out. I've had a really good chance to get to know him. Pat very graciously is host of the obligatory PSU pregame show at the We Are In, both locations now, Phillipsburg and the new one coming to State College. I'll say two things. Number one, it's not just about sports for Pat. He has a really good grasp of a lot of the other issues that are facing Penn State and that are going on in higher education, which I think is always important when you're electing your trustees. It can't just be about who's going to vote to approve a blank check for James Franklin. But the other thing is he has experience working with the university on stuff. And it's a unique bureaucracy that some people, I think, just don't have the knack or the patience to deal with. So the fact that you have that broad perspective on all the different things facing Penn State and the ability to work inside the unique academic bureaucracy, I think those are two things that really qualify him to represent all of us on the board. So, okay, enough now. Let's talk about Penn State football.
We'll get him quarter three and four. Back to Penn State football. I had an interesting topic, I thought, for you specifically, Chris, because you have a unique appreciation for Penn State athletics, Penn State sports, Penn State football. And I think this past season, Penn State overall 13-3, something we've never seen this before, 16-game season. And I also believe, Chris, that we sometimes get lost in the moment. We forget what happened last week, so intent on this week. And if that last game is the semifinal against Notre Dame with a disappointing finish, that's what we take away from the season, as opposed to what happened throughout the whole year. And I think this was a fascinating season with so many intriguing stories. And I talked to you ahead of time about this topic, and I was searching for the right word. I fell on intriguing. What are the intriguing stories for you that came out of this season, Chris?
Yeah, and how about we just put it in the context of this entire academic year for Penn State athletics? We are living through, Jim, right now, one of the greatest years for Penn State sports. When you put it all together, that run the football team made to the playoff semifinals, hosting a home playoff game in the first year of that coming to college football, with the backdrop of what the women's volleyball team did, Coach Katie's story and winning that national championship, and of course the wrestling team doing what they did, 10 All-Americans, 8 guys finishing in the top 3, the points record, 2 national champions, including Carter Cerracci, the only 5-time national champion in college wrestling. history. You look at the first run to the Frozen Four for the men's hockey team. That's an incredible story after they were left for dead at 0-8 to start conference play. The men's gymnastics team wins its first ever Big Ten title. The women's hockey team wins another conference title, three straight. I mean, just Penn State athletics is clicking on all cylinders. I saw the softball team set a team record for home runs the other day. Baseball's off and running. Really good stuff. So when I take it back to the football season, I do think there are a lot of intriguing storylines we'll talk about. Your question got me thinking about what's the one play that I am going to remember from this season. Like if you're an Eagles fan, you maybe think about one of the great Saquon Barkley runs or the dagger play action pass to Devontae Smith or Cooper DeJean's pick six in the Super Bowl. I have a play that for me is going to define this season in my mind. I'm curious if you can guess which one it is.
I think
there are a few.
Yes, there actually are. I'm wondering, is it fake punt Luke Reynolds?
That's a great one. Ty Warren lining up at center and snapping the ball and catching the touchdown at USC is another. But for me, I think the play that's going to define 2024 in my mind.
Wait, give me one more guess.
Yeah.
How about fourth down conversion?
No, another good one. Oh. Another good one. For me, it's the Tony Rojas pick six.
Oh.
Against SMU. And this is why I have heard the complaint a lot, certainly from people outside the Lash building and perhaps some people inside, although, you may think that, Jim, I couldn't possibly comment, that we have had too many years of the Grant Haley, Marcus Allen play headlining our highlight reel. And we needed something else that was going to unify everybody, a memory that you can show. And the second it comes up on screen, everybody just gets that warm feeling. And I think it is maybe going to be the Rojas pick six, because that's an exciting play, dynamic, the backdrop of that wintry day in State College with the whiteout and everything it symbolizes. That's the last time Penn State is ever going to play inside Beaver Stadium in the incarnation it had been. I mean, the renovation that's being done right now is taking out parts of the original superstructure from 1960. So this is maybe the most dramatic overhaul the stadium has gone through since they moved it across campus. And so that being the last game and everything attached to that bit, that being that playoff game and that being the decisive moment when you knew this thing was over, kind of like the, sorry, if you're not an Eagles fan, kind of like the Cooper DeJean picks it, right? That's the one that's going to stick in my mind. And just being there and feeling the energy in the stadium, you only get that spontaneous outburst of emotion every once in a while. The ingredients have to be just right. And for all of us who braved the elements to be there on that day and what it meant to the university and the football program and the people who were there in Beaver Stadium, that's the one that's going to stick in my mind.
Do you know what's interesting to me? First of all, that is a great choice, great selection there. And you want to say, like you just did, I was there for that. Okay. And literally, as he's making the interception return, my memory, as it's happening, I'm saying, hey, this guy was a running back in high school and a really good one, okay? And you're watching that happen. But what I think is fascinating, Chris, is I gave you, between us, we came up with like four or five other options before you even gave your number one.
Yeah.
And any one of those other ones could have been the defining play of the season. And I'll throw one out there that it can't be a defining play because they lost the game. But the Denai Dennis Sutton interception against Notre Dame so phenomenal. Had they won that game, which, it was right down to the last minute, that could have been another nominee.
One of the beautiful things about life is the way, as time passes, you can preserve the good memories and forget the bad ones. And so even seasons that have disappointments and heartbreaks in them, if they're great seasons, you'll look back and they'll get better and better with each passing year. And there's a lot of that in this season. Like, I am going to think about Penn State's defense smothering Ashton Jeanty in the same way great Penn State defenses of old shut down Heisman Trophy winning and Heisman Trophy candidate running backs. I remember Abdul Carter playing with one arm like an absolute Superman against Notre Dame. Again, unfortunate that game didn't go our way. But we'll see what happens this season. May paint that loss in an entirely different context. None of us are hurt too bad by the 85 Orange Bowl, right? Because of what came afterward. I'm going to think about Bo Prabula stepping up to the plate in Madison in that raucous night game environment and just throwing dimes in the second half of that game. And the big play that Jalen Reed had, the interception to kind of turn that Wisconsin game. There were so many fun. And talk about Jalen Reed. How about the way he took over the West Virginia game to start the season? There were so many standout plays and likable players and guys who we're still going to be talking about a decade or more from now who were part of this football team. You got me really jazzed up, Jim, thinking back on this season, being like, man, that was a really good year where we all got to make a lot of fun memories we're going to carry with us. And that's what this is all about. That's why you're a Penn State football fan.
And, you know, Chris, I'm glad you framed it that way because, again, I feel like they get lost, okay?
Sure.
And I think it's important for us to remember and remind each other of some of these plays and the things that went on and the memories. I gave I did this with Andy Shea earlier in the week, and it's fun to get the different perspectives. One of the things I brought up as a story was Vega Ioane in motion. I mean, literally, you could sense when you're at the stadium, you see him in motion and there's a noise, okay? There's an expectation level. We're going to see him destroy somebody.
Yeah, yeah. And that plays into just everything we saw on offense this year and the promise Andy Kotelnicki brought with him. And that was another fun storyline to follow.
It was, and it was one of my favorites. And those are the things, as you talked about, it creates these moments that will be a memory a decade from now. We're going to say, remember how they used to put Ioane in motion? Anyway, Chris, fortunately, we've got another segment to continue this conversation. We'll do that right after this break. Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? Go PSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Chris Buchanani. I'm Jim Galante. This is quarter number two of our show. Chris, we're having some fun. We're looking back at the 2024 season as some of the top stories. You brought up an interesting angle from this, which was taking the most memorable plays. And you brought up Tony Rojas's interception, his pick six in a playoff game, in a home playoff game. There's so many pieces of that. And we kind of had an honorable mention of a group of plays. You know, we brought up the great play to Tyler Warren where he lines up as a center, ends up receiving a touchdown pass. What I think gets lost in that play in the mad scientist that's Andy Kotelnicki is no matter how intriguing that play was, at the back end in the end zone, Tyler Warren was well covered. He needed to make a phenomenal catch up and over the defender, or we would have forgotten about that play.
I'm glad you brought up Tyler Warren, because I think another story that I will certainly remember from this season is his emergence, not just as a great player, but somebody who, by virtue of the season he had, I mean, a tight end who finished seventh in the Heisman voting and probably should have been a little bit higher, put himself in the conversation as the best to ever do it at his position at Penn State. You live through a season where you get to see something like that, that is special. I mean, think about that. When he made the decision, which at the time seemed, I don't know, maybe a little risky to forego the NFL draft, because you knew the guy was going to blow up the combine if he came out before this past season. And yeah, even though Theo Johnson was coming out as well, like, there was going to be a spot there for Tyler Warren to go, probably maybe even on the second day of the draft. But he decides to come back and be the feature tight end in what turned out to be, you know, Andy Kotelnicki's offense, which was perfectly suited to his unique skill set. And he just turns in this season for the ages, where we're going to talk about Tyler Warren now, not just for a decade, but decades, plural. He's been a conversation as the greatest tight end we've ever had, wear the blue and white. And we just had the privilege of being able to watch that play out. Really cool stuff.
And by the way, this is not one of those weak positions. This is historic, the tight end position at Penn State. And I'm not just talking about the last couple years with people like Theo Johnson and Mike Gesicki. You could go way back. It's pretty, you know, Brady, just so many names at the tight end position. But I don't think this is recency bias for us, Chris, to say best of all time.
No, I don't think so either. I don't say that lightly at all. It's not recency bias. Everything he brought to the position, the season he had, and his importance to the team definitely puts him in that conversation. And I am comfortable slotting him there, I think. And that's with all due respect to Kyle Brady and Teddy Kwolek and the other guys who belong in that conversation. Tyler Warren did so much for this team, and just so much individually as a player, man. This was one of the all-time great single seasons for a Penn State football player. Really awesome. And you can say a lot of the same about Abdul Carter. He's going to go down as one of the greats. And the fact that in the midst of an era where, you know, guys will sit out bowl games because they have a hangnail, because they want to preserve their NFL draft position and marketability. Here's a guy who's legitimately in the conversation to be the number one overall pick in the draft, who said, no, we're in the playoffs. If I can physically go, I'm going to go. And he has a great game with one arm all but literally tied behind his back against the Fighting Irish. After the season he turned in, after the position switch, and you know, talk about funny storylines. Remember, everybody wanted him to move back to linebacker after the first couple games of the season. That's going to be something we all remember and talk about. I get excited thinking about the kids who are in school now, that this is their Penn State football experience. And I know that 15, 20 years from now, when they're getting together at a tailgate, or that, you know, they're at a reunion or whatever, they're on their text threads, they're still going to be swapping stories about this year. It just makes me happy for, you know, another link forged in that chain.
Kids, back in my day, we had this linebacker turned defensive end named Abdul Carter. Trust me on it.
Right. And yes, before you know it, in a blinking of an eye, kids who look younger than you can possibly believe are going to be staring at you blankly in the same way people do to me now when I talk about, like, Courtney Brown and LeVar Arrington.
Exactly. All right. Give me some more stories. Give me another storyline from this season, Chris.
Okay, so I'm going to throw a few at you. First of all, I was thinking about signature plays, and another one that needs to be mentioned is Nick Singleton truck sticking the Illinois linebacker in pass protection, and then drifting out into the flat and catching that pass, and then picking up a first down in the homecoming game. And then that makes me think about, I love these little storylines that happen just over the course of a week. I always talk about a college football season is like a storybook, and each week is a chapter, and it has its own events that feel impossibly important in that 7-day span, and then they totally disappear. And I think about the whiteout energy storyline. So we have this stupid thing. I don't know if it's stupid. It feels a little silly to me. I'm not going to go so far as to call it stupid. It's a little silly. We have this marketing prohibition on having more than one official whiteout per season, right? Because we want to maintain the specialness of the whiteout, even though some years we don't have a really good home opponent and we use it for like Minnesota or something like that. So we can only have one whiteout. So we're playing an undefeated Illinois team, and that's it's homecoming. And it just so happens that, you know, hey, look, we prefer this to be, a night game, and we want to save it for later in the season. So we're not doing the whiteout, but circumstances just dictate that this is a bigger game than you maybe expected at the beginning of the year because of the way Illinois was playing. They beat a ranked Nebraska team the week before, and it's homecoming, and you've got the primetime kickoff. So James Franklin, in his press conference, understanding the marketing people don't want him to tell everybody, well, yo, don't tell everybody to wear white. What if they don't do it? Then we're going to look bad on TV. So he just says, knowing the fan base is going to respond, I want everybody to bring white out energy. And we got to have white out energy. And, you know, some people who like to be sourpusses about everything complained about that and said it was stupid and hokey. And everybody else said, you know what, this is supposed to be fun, and this is fun. Let's have fun with this thing that's supposed to be fun. And we all wore white. And the atmosphere inside that stadium, Jim, again, for honoring the 1994 team that kind of made their bones on the road against Illinois in one of the great games in Penn State football history, And just a fun contest against what turned out to be a really, really talented Brett Bielema coach team. That was one of the better whiteout environments I've been at. And I think I've been at all of them, actually. And so, to me, it's a great little fun story. And it also showed that when we need to get the fan base to galvanize around something like that, like somewhat organically, we can do it. So that's a great storyline that sticks out to me.
I love that one, Chris. I love it. And James Franklin gets probably more than his fair share of criticism, but he deserves credit for handling it the way he did. And candidly, the way he handled it made it more interesting, more fun than if they had just officially said, oh, we're going to have a second whiteout.
Yeah.
It made it more of a story. I love that one, Chris.
And this was a season for James to exercise a lot of demons, and unfortunately he couldn't get over on the last one, but that's what 2025 is for. But you brought up the punt fake call and the fourth down calls at Minnesota. When you think about Penn State's history versus that program, you about James Franklin's history versus that program, and how if you looked at the schedule at the start of the year and said, okay, where's going to be the game that infuriates everybody because we lose when we're not supposed to, everyone would circle that one. And the fact that we didn't do it despite the way that whole game went up to that point, and we won because he made gutsy calls and they worked, I think we will potentially look back on that as a major turning point for him as Penn State's head coach and for Penn State football in the post-Paterno era.
I agree. And it's interesting. There's still that big game stigma that, you know, winning playoff games against SMU and Boise State were not enough for the naysayers. You got to be a name brand, and it was right there so close against Notre Dame. But these other things, games like the Wisconsin game or the USC game, that in another season would have been a loss. And let's face it, the way this season went nationally, those are the kind of games a lot of teams lost this year.
Look, Penn State had never defeated USC on the West Coast. I talked about that a lot during the season. 0-3 in the Rose Bowl, 0-2 in the Coliseum.
That's And add to that, that was the point in the season where everyone was looking. Remember traveling multiple time zones was the kiss of death? He overcame that part of it.
That's a great point. Yeah. And, I'll never get over the fact that stupid preseason rankings. USC blows that game against Minnesota, and everybody's like, oh, man, Minnesota stinks. How'd you lose to Minnesota? So they drop them completely out of the rankings, depriving Penn State of a quality win, a ranked win, or whatever. And then till you get to the end of the year, you find out that, yeah, maybe USC wasn't that great. They lost a lot of close games, but Minnesota turned out to be pretty good. But anyway, they should have put a number next to USC's name. Even if it was just like 24 or 25, you could get one of those ranked wins. Nevertheless. But a huge, important victory and another hump for coach and program to get over, get that way.
It really was. And I thought the other storyline in that game was Drew Aller in the second half. It was on his shoulders to win that game. And he did.
Yep. And now you got, this is your final go around, man. Last rodeo. Finish it off, young man.
That's it. And you know what? We're going to see it against Oregon in September. That's that next opportunity to forget all the other big games. All right, that is it for Chris
Everybody
Buchanani.
Vote for Pat Romano.
We're going to have two segments with Pat coming up. Please stay tuned for that. A really interesting guy. I think you'll enjoy hearing from Pat. We'll do that right after this break.
Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? Go PSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante with our very special guest, Pat Romano. Pat, a big fan of Penn State, supporter of the athletic department. You do all these great things. I know because I was there with them. Owner of the We Are In up in Phillipsburg. You are opening Happy Valley Live.
Yep.
And now that's not enough for you. You're now running for the Board of Trustees at Penn State.
Welcome Keeping busy.
Show. You are. What did busy. I miss? I probably have missed something.
No, I think you got it all. Well, we do films too. We do film production.
I should have remembered that.
Because not only with the athletic side, there's a lot of people in these races that are way too far attached to athletics, which is not a problem. But if you're going to be on the board, there's a lot of other pressing issues that we should be looking at. And I like the films that we've shot recently. I'm on my third one now. We have all people from the Belisario College who come over and work with us, and they get different levels of experience. I have some people who have already graduated and have come back, and we did a major production. I had a couple of the guys moved up the levels. It might have taken years to get to. But, supporting all of the students is very important. Not to get off subject right out of the gate, but, we do things with a group called Serve State. They come over and we basically at cost let them come over and do their spring and fall formals because they're a community group that volunteers and just has so much participation in all of the Penn State community. So we support everybody.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're going to go off topic. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go right with you because I think the Penn State community is so huge with and willing to help and the alums. So it's great to hear when just to get the opportunity to share. I've had interns on our show where it's the greatest thing mm-hmm. to help them out
Absolutely.
With their experiences. And yes, it's not all about sports, mm-hmm. but we're sports guys.
Thon, all the different things. And one of the things that's really neat is that not only do we teach these Penn Staters, we can learn from them. Oh, yeah. Because there's nothing wrong with an older guy listening to somebody who's in college with some new theories coming around and new ideas to sit there and take a minute to listen to them. You know, they have a voice in the community and they are going to be the future. So it's great to support them while they support you as well.
Well, a few years ago, I got involved with this. It was a finance class where the project was to write a business plan. And instead of doing the hypothetical program, the professor would bring in people who own businesses. And the students would then write a business plan. And I'm an old guy. You're a pretty old guy. It's real easy to just, kids these days. Oh, my goodness. These kids were fantastic. They were just wonderful. And after spending like a semester with once a week, I would meet with my group. I told them I would give a recommendation to any one of you. They were fantastic. So that kids these days. I'm learning to get away from that mode, Pat, and sure. I'm sure you're finding that out too.
Yeah, I could use that group to help me with some of my business plans. I can't keep up with myself.
Well, we'll see if we can work that out. You are like the hugest Penn State supporter I think I know. How did that happen? How did you become such a, first of all, a Penn State fan, and then a guy who does more than just being a fan, buying a ticket? You support so many causes involved sure. with Penn State.
Sure. Well, you know, growing up in the Philadelphia area, up in Conshohocken, my dad worked in a steel mill. My grandfather was a steel worker, and they were always Penn State, Penn State, Penn State. And I think it's got a lot to do with the Penn State, the blue, the white, the black shoes, basic blues, all this stuff. And because it's really blue collar, you know, it's that blue collar mentality and go and earn it that I was brought up on. And we had a hunting camp up here that we always came up to for fishing, for hunting, for vacation in the summer. And we always stopped on campus and looked around. I got to see the stadium grow over the years. Because I was born in 68. I've been coming here my whole life. I always wanted to live here. I hated leaving the area because I always felt like God lived here. And it's like, you just need to be closer to that, you know? So we really, really, really loved Penn State. I can't say how much. There was a point before Penn State got in the Big Ten, when we lived in the Philly area, the first four games weren't even on TV. We would sit, drink coffee, play pinochle, and listen to the game on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
It was insane. You know, it's insane. You have that level of football.
George Paterno.
George.
And Sam Fisher, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we all – I was born a few years before you. We all had that experience. Yeah. So, anyway, I'm sorry. I interrupted
you. No.
So, the Penn State – so, it's that blue-collar athlete. And there are so many Penn Staters that I've talked to. They were the first one in the family to go to college. I come from a Penn State family, like my brothers, my nephews. I have an uncle who was a professor here at Penn State. So mm-hmm. we bled blue and white. It's kind of cool for a guy from Philly to just kind of pick that up instead of going mainline in Villanova.
Right. I liked Villanova basketball. They were good. You know, one of the things with school, and, you know, I hate to admit this, but I started at Temple out of West Catholic. So I had, you know, all the Catholic schooling and then went to Temple for a year. But I ended up getting into my first business back then because there was a vision that I had and some things I was doing. And I just didn't need to go back to school. World Campus was something that afforded me the opportunity to fulfill some educational goals. I went back and I finally, instead of being class of 1990 in college, I was class of 2012.
So you can pass yourself off as a recent Penn State grad.
People think I'm like 34 when they see the 2012 instead of 56, but I'll take it.
So then coming along, you ended up, you're the owner of the We Are In. I think a lot of Penn State folks know that. It's up in Phillipsburg, which the back room is like a shrine to Penn State. I've been there. You do. Tell our listeners a little bit about some of the events that you do there that are just very cool. And it's not just football with the different Penn State sports.
Oh, yeah. Like even with, and not just the sports too. Again, Serve State, we just had their event. If you look on my Facebook, you know, let me say that really quick. You can see everything that we do because there's a history there of all this stuff, and you'll see some amazing food. But, you know.
I could vouch for that.
For sure.
I've eaten that.
For sure.
So, yes. So,
like, we've drilled down as far as, like, having the softball girls come in, and we've given them a nice day where they could come in and eat, and we take cheesesteaks up to when they have a game. We're not bashful of any sport. As right now, as you can see, I'm wearing a hoodie that's Penn State Gymnastics.
Yep. Now I'm excited. We are actually doing this interview in your new place, which is going to be called Happy Valley Live. Phillipsburg hey, it's a drive to get there.
Yeah.
And got to go over the mountain. You're like the closest place to the stadium now. What are you going to be doing now with this place?
Oh, it's going to be insane. We couldn't do the We Are Inn because we're in the parking lot of the Hampton Inn on College Avenue. And it would be too confusing for people who are coming, you know, on a just to come in for a game or something like that. So we looked around and I was like, you know what? This is more indicative of what we're going to do, because Happy Valley Live speaks to a lot of things. It speaks to the events that we're going to have as far as comedy nights, you know, the watch parties and all that, the football stuff and the wrestling stuff and basketball and everything. Yeah, that's there. But we're going to have a mechanical bull in the lower level for our country nights, you know, that we'll set up and the people can have a lot of fun with that. Karaoke, trivia nights, so many different things. We've even had with our karaoke, there was a group of older people. They're like, listen, you start at 9 o'clock for karaoke. We're in bed by then. And I said, okay, well, let me think about it. And they're trying to form a group of people that'll come in at like 5 o'clock and do karaoke. And we can accommodate them because we have so much space. We have three levels to work with here. It's going to be great.
I just walked through, and I don't know if I mentioned it earlier, for folks who don't know where we are, this is the old Damon's and Letterman's. You're going to be wildly successful. Yeah. I know that, just based on everything you've done in Phillipsburg. I got a crazy idea here. Why don't we shift to what we were supposed to talk about, which is that you're actually running for the board. First of all, my first instinct, Pat, is what are you thinking? Who would want to be part of that? What made you say you want to be on the Board of Trustees here at Penn State?
There is still some shadow of it being a prestigious thing, because I talk to people who've had grandfathers and, you know, stuff like that were on the board. And there's just so many things that go on with that board that it's not what it used to be. And I'd like to go back and be part of helping to restore that. At one point, I was on 7 different boards in the area. I'm still sitting as Rush Township Supervisor. I'm the chairman there. And since I'm off of, there was 10 boards off and on through a period in the area. And now I'm only on one. And I'm going to be so close to the school that it's not a burden on me, I don't feel. And there's so many people that are alumni and community members who come and they sit, they have something to eat, and we're talking, and all the issues come forth. You know, they talk to me about everything, tuitions, the Commonwealth campuses, all the different issues. So if I'm going to sit and discuss these things, I'd like to be more a part of it so that I can have better answers and so that I can give feedback at the board for people that are on the ground level who just, you know, have a voice as well, but just can't, they're too busy to have it heard. You know, I could be the voice for those people.
That's definitely needed on the board. One of the things you and I have talked about a little bit is it's strange. There are 36 members of the board and only 9 who are actually elected by Penn State alumni, correct?
It's a shame. It's a shame because you have what I'm calling the 27. They're appointed and there's really no accountability on them. It's not to say that they don't do their job, but it's not the same as if you're elected. So I come in, all right, and I'm running and I have a platform. And I'm one of the 3 that could be elected this time. I have a platform. The ones who are appointed could sit back and go, oh, here's another guy that, you know, he's a visionary and wants to, you know, be like the Renaissance guy and change some things. Well, they could sit back and chuckle because when I get in there, maybe nothing gets done because they don't want me there, you know? And then it looks bad to the people who voted for me, but they don't understand. We're outnumbered 27-9. And you see, I bring up Barry, you know, Barry Fencheck. He went in and, you know, he brought out a lot of things. He had a lot of questions. He wanted a lot of information to get out to people. So they created a committee to make it so that, hey, look, we're going to review you. And my original understanding was that it was going to be to check for criminal backgrounds and something that could be dangerous to be on there. But then watching the Zoom while they were running through each potential candidate who had already passed the nomination phase, mind you, because in this world, it's supposed to be you get nominated, you get votes, you get seated. Okay. But now you get nominated and we decide, are you good enough to be one of us? Do we like you? And it's looking to see if you have the qualifications to be eligible is now what I'm understanding. Well, Barry was on the board for 3 years and now all of a sudden he's not qualified. You know, it's a silencing mechanism. They took something that could have been a good device to make sure that we don't have any like criminals on there and turned around and now it's weaponized.
Almost, it strikes me so wrong. It almost strikes me as if in our political world, whatever party's in power could say the other party can't run. Why? Because we don't agree with them. Mm-hmm. And that's what it strikes me as. And I feel like if more people, more Penn Staters would understand what's going on,
they'd be more upset, would be calling their state legislatures and so on. Now, Pat, you and I are friends. We got off on tangents here. We're almost out of time. Could I beg you to stay one more segment?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Let's do that. Since we're running out of time, and I still have my list of questions here, Pat, that I never got to. So, so how about you and I stick around? We'll do one more segment, and we'll hit my questions. We'll do that right after this break.
Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? Go PSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante with our special guest, Pat Romano. A lot of you may know Pat from his catering work, from the We Are In up in Phillipsburg. Soon you're going to know him for Happy Valley Live at the old Damon's and Letterman's. But also, Pat is running for the Penn State Board of Trustees, which is very cool. And we were talking about that, Pat, when we hit our break, and that I'm not sure a lot of Penn State alums even know that the vast majority of people, they're appointed. They're not voted on.
Correct.
And now we have the situation, as you pointed out, where the board has a committee where they could essentially veto someone if they don't want them to run.
Yep.
Which is crazy. But there's, and you mentioned Barry Fenchuk, who we've had on our show. And when I had Barry on, it was just when the vote took place for the naming of the field, which was just happened a few weeks ago. And I wanted to ask you about it. Now, the vote is done, but I wanted to talk to you also about the process of how that happened, how the big debate was, why not Joe Paterno Field? Why not raising money that way?
Mm-hmm.
I know that's a vote that's already taken place, but I did want to get your take on it because I know our listeners want to know where you stand.
Sure.
On that.
I mean, I was always for the Paterno Field. It just makes perfect sense. And I think that our donors and alumni could have definitely raised plenty of capital for that long term, and it would have been great. But where we're at right now, things are already done. It didn't get to happen the way it should have, I don't believe. But at this point, I'm not going to turn around and begrudge anyone in this process other than like the board and maybe even the president, you know, because the, you know, Pat Kraft has a job to do and he's doing a great job with it. They're raising money, you know. People said, oh, well, Franklin could have done. What's Franklin going to do? He's the coach. You know, it's back to that, you know, it's the board who's making the decisions. Do I begrudge BJ? No. The man's just dumped $50 million on us. And I'm going to say he's a bad guy. He's a Penn Stater. I've met him. I've talked to him. And I now support him because this is where we are. We can't be looking backwards. You know, it's 15 years, maybe 15 years from now, we do it. Maybe I stay in for 6 years and come back and do another six later, Jim, you know, to do something like that. But my big thing right now is
strategery.
My big thing right now is a perfect opportunity to bring the statue back. And let's make everybody happy. You know, there's the fenced inside courtyard on the east side of the stadium, which is where the statue was. So you could put it in there and people can enjoy it when they're going out there to have their sandwiches and beers and whatever. And it's a nice photo op for everybody like we used to have. And it's in there. It's protected. And I think that's the move right now. That's what we need to focus on right now. And I will focus on that.
That's great because I had a colleague when we were doing a show and a discussion came up about Joe, and I brought up the counterpoint was, boy, you know what? Even if we as Penn Staters think it's the right thing to do, there's going to be blowback. We know that nationally, and maybe people want to avoid that. And my colleague said, Jim, there's never the wrong time to do the right thing.
Correct.
So it does feel like that would be a good compromise and still honor Joe, especially while Sue is still with us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I agree with that. Now, the other big sports story with the board, and it's also the votes happen. They're doing the renovation of the stadium. And I've had people feedback say, Jim, it sounds like you don't want improvement to the stadium. Or I have no problem with that. I think it'll be great when we're there to see it. But I wonder about the process of the board, how these things get voted on. I just like your take on that, how the board proceeds with these big questions. Sometimes it just feels like whatever's brought to them gets rubber stamped.
Yeah. Well, again, you have the 27, and I'm sure they're going to do what they want regardless of what the alumni elected people do. And let me just jump into this really quick. So there are 750,000-ish alumni of Penn State right now, living alumni. So you have nine people representing you and only about 20,000 vote. So with that number out of 750,000, nobody's paying attention. Okay. Nobody cares. It seems as though nobody cares. Well, guess what? If we had up to 100,000 people voting or 125,000 people voting, now all of a sudden there's a force behind the nine to be able to step up. And the 27 appointed trustees would have people to answer to because they'd be seeing them every place they go. And that voice would be loud. You know, you're talking about donors. You're talking about all the people who come in and provide scholarship benefits for people, all these different areas. Yeah, it's got to be taken care of. And we need, as voters, that's another thing I'm going to do is try to get, I don't care who you vote for, vote. Get bigger, get stronger. Help your nine people that you elect. The board should be changed. There's too many people who are appointed and not elected. And every time they try to say, hey, we need another elected one, they'll add three more that are appointed, which is ridiculous.
Well, first of all, let's get this out of the way. If you're a Penn State alum, how do you vote? If I'm just a Penn State alum who happens to hear this podcast and I live in Florida, how do I vote for in the election?
Yep. So they come out, if they have your current email, it'll come out on April 21st and you click on there and you can vote. If not, then you have to take the next step. And if you go to my page on Facebook and then some different things that I'm going to be sharing it on, I think all the candidates will be sharing the link to be able to click on and go vote. It only takes 15, 20 seconds to vote. I'm even going to look into hiring a company to do impressions and get it out to as many people as we can. And I'm not even going to use my name on it. I'm just going to send out to vote and follow up to get more people in there voting because we need our numbers. We need our strength. We need the pride to come forward.
Yeah, that the numbers are amazing. That how many votes did you, how many people?
Like around 20,000. Yeah. Vote.
We get 100,000 over that for every football weekend. And we can't get more than 20,000 voters. That's a shame. That's criminal. The other thing, this is a non-sports related. I think our listeners could put up with one or two non-sports related, is the branch campuses. Commonwealth campuses. Hey, I went to Hazleton. Yes, I can call it whatever I want. And by the way, just as an aside, the Commonwealth campuses, I think they find the absolute coldest places in Pennsylvania to put those campuses. I would commute from Berwick to Hazleton, and you go straight up the mountain. It's raining in Berwick, it's snowing in Hazleton. But anyway, I digress. But now they are going to be closing some of those. That's going to happen. Wanted to get your take on that.
I think at this point, it might be a little too late for incoming people with ideas. I know there are some guys who had ideas and they were ignored. But one of the things with it is if I get in there in May, the campuses will probably already have been closed. And it's funny because two of the glaring issues were the stadium name and this. So there's going to be other things to be able to focus on to help prevent some things down the road. You know, you got to look now, okay, this is what we did and we had to shutter these places. What can we do to save the other ones? You know, I think Royal Campus is an area where maybe they can combine some things to make it so that people can still have a full-time job and jump in and do different stuff there. And, you know, we just have to look at the different things and the resources that are available.
I know when I went for my parents, we had three of us in college at the same time. Even back then, not the most affordable thing. And the ability for us to go to the branch campus helped us afford to go to college. Mm-hmm. So when I hear them closing, it kind of strikes a little bit close to home. The other non-sports question I always like to ask any board members who I have on the show is, I mentioned back when I went to school and three of us in school at the same time, it was still costly, but not like it is now. And I know inflation, but the cost of tuition just far exceeds what inflation is
here. It's insane.
Plus, our academic ranking is also not where it's supposed to be. What can be done about that? And can you do anything or make any recommendations when going onto the board?
Well, one of the things when you go into a board, you got to feel your way around and see what's going on and get your bearings. Because from there, believe it or not, common sense goes a long way. I've done these things on other boards where that's why people wanted me on boards, because I come in, I go against groupthink. I ask questions that make people question what they're saying. You know, our board has a lot of groupthink. They all, oh my God, yeah, this is great. Like Barry was saying, they pat each other on the back and you're losing hundreds of thousands of dollars on what you just voted on. But, you know, there's things that can be done. You just got to sit down, get to the table and work on it. Focus, you know, and move forward.
And the preventive measures. I asked you some questions about the stadium, the naming, and that it's after the fact that mm-hmm. it's already done. But let's talk about now a little bit going forward. I've left you 2 minutes, okay, to do this. But tell me about your platform. You're going in. Why should alumni vote for you? What is it that you want to accomplish?
I want to go in and accomplish representing alumni, and by doing so, have more alumni come in and vote with us. Just vote, vote, vote. You don't even have to vote for me. Just vote. We need to be strong to be able to get things done. I'm going to do things with the board to try to bring some of the alumni together, because it's been some fracturing of the relationships and things like that. We got to stick together, you know. It's very important. You know, the tuitions, that's going to be a battle, because we're already at a point where the money has been earmarked for different things. So you got to just sit there and tear at it and cut into it. It's just a lot of work, and you got to go in there and put the time in. You really do. And Barry did it and got crucified for it. And, you know, if Barry gets back on, which I believe he's going to, the courts are going to find in his favor, you know, I'll run with Barry and we'll go in together and we'll do something.
Very good. I've had Barry on our show and he's been exceptional. All right, I got time for one last question. Now I'm going to prioritize Jim, okay, with this question. Let's talk a little bit about Happy Valley Live. Can't wait for this place to open. Tell me, when's it going to open? What could we expect when it opens? What could our listeners expect? How about even on game day? Can we stop here, pick up for our tailgates?
Oh, yeah. We'll be having things on game days. You can pick up stuff for your tailgates. That'll be order ahead, and it'll just be pick and pay for it and pick it up right in the parking lot on the way up. We're going to have so many activities in here. Like I was saying before, mechanical bowl down in the lower level with country nights, karaoke's, always our good food. You know, everything comes down to the food. You know, the food, the food, the food. Our menu is going to be the same, except we are going to add ribs, because Damon's, I always came here and got the ribs.
Oh,
you know,
man.
I want ribs. I'm coming to get them here. You know, so it's going to be a lot of the same with additional stuff. Comedy nights, like I said, all kinds of stuff. Fun, fun, fun.
You know you had me at ribs, right?
I had you before that.
Yes, you did. All right, we're out of time, Pat. Thank you so much for taking the time and being on
sure.
the show.
My pleasure.
Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Jim.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? Go PSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467.